But the subject that we want to consider this particular course is his study of ethics. And he did that study of ethics in largely the same manner, namely, that he surveyed the various customs and habits and traditions of individuals and of city-states in his day, looking for the common elements that were present in the ways in which people lived and the ways in which cities organized themselves. And from that same basic biological approach of looking for what is it that makes a given human being or a given community to prosper, just as in biology he looks for what the diet and what the exercise regime and what the kinds of activities and dangers that a particular animal or animal species must face, he's forever looking for the excellence for that particular species and that particular individual. So, too, in ethics, he's looking for what particular kinds of activities, what particular character traits, what particular structures of life and habits of action will make for real excellence and will make for success in life of an individual or in the life of a community. This was his sense of what ethics is about and his sense of how to do a formal study of ethics. Now, when modern scholars consider the topic of ethics, the topic of how it is that we should live, how it is that we will best prosper, there have been many, many theories that have been elaborated. Perhaps the one that is most obvious to us today, the one that we hit so frequently in ordinary conversation and in considerations of important topics, is called utilitarianism. This is a view of ethics that is concerned largely with weighing cost and benefit. It's trying to assess the relative advantage or disadvantage. And it's a very important theory of ethics. It's focused in particular is by John Stuart Mill and Jeremy Bentham, but it's practiced in many fields of thought today. You frequently see it adverted to, for instance, in decisions about government funding, or you see it adverted to in questions of medical ethics and the distribution of limited resources. It has its advantages because it means taking a good, hard assessment of the relative merits of a case and the pros and cons. But the difficulty with something like utilitarian ethics, the way in which I think it is most superficial and, in a way, unsatisfying, is that it does not have any absolute respect for anything. Anything can be put into its scales and weighed and measured. And so even the value of an innocent human life does not have an absolute character, and the person and the person's dignity is not given a mark of unqualified respect. Hence, I find that it's interesting and helpful on certain matters, but that it isn't the real basis for ethics. A second type of ethics that you see is very common today is an ethics of obligation and permission, the ethics of duty and of right. This is especially associated with thinking since the Enlightenment and with the philosopher Immanuel Kant. Immanuel Kant put into philosophical parlance what I think many of us know from the time we're at our mother's knee, the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Or perhaps in the Wall Street version of it, do unto others before they do unto you. No. But Kant's version of this, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, is given a more technical statement by him in what's called the categorical imperative. That's subject perhaps for another set of talks someday, but it emphasizes the way in which we as free human agents need to make our choices and need to make them responsibly by asking ourselves, would we like to be treated the way we're treating somebody else? What must we ourselves do in order to treat that other person the way we ourselves would expect to be treated? This version of ethics, I think, is stronger than utilitarianism because it gives that greater sense of the fact that there are certain things that are so important that they must be attended to, human rights, for instance, and certain things that are so nefarious that they may never be done because we would never have them done unto us. A third kind of ethics, however, one that attempts to enrich, one that attempts to go deeper by relying much more heavily upon anthropology, upon insights about human character and about what over the long range really fulfills a person, really brings a person to excellence, really nourishes our life, is the ethics associated with nature and the natural law tradition. And it is this particular tradition in ethics that has its basis in the work of the Greeks, like Socrates, Plato, and especially Aristotle.